Welcome to the Michael Rivero What Really Happened radio program.
Aloha, America. Welcome to our show today, and it's Friday, August 27th, 2010. Sure happy Friday. I keep confusing the two here. We got a lot of stuff to talk about today. Our phone lines are open, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Manny's in the control room, and we're ready to go and just talk about all kinds of things. Now, if you're watching the corporate media, especially CNN right now, you probably noticed over the last several days, we've been seeing this look-back retrospective at Hurricane Katrina and how are they doing in New Orleans, and it's still struggling, and it's a mess. And I'm having a hard time figuring out why they're spending so much time on this. I'm starting to wonder if maybe this is British Petroleum's attempt to, like, say, okay, we did the well thing, but it's not like it was a really great place to begin with. It was all trashed up anyway, so what's the big deal about the oil wells and whatnot? It's not like we upchucked an oil well all over someplace nice, like Beverly Hills or Miami or something like that. But it occurred to me that we do need to take a close look at Hurricane Katrina and the absolute total incompetence of the U.S. government in responding to the disaster. And, I mean, it's not like the hurricane was a surprise. They saw it coming and coming and coming, and they knew where it was going to hit. And the United States has been experiencing hurricanes, you know, for 1,000 years. It's not like this is a big, unexpected event. Everybody knows what happens when you have a hurricane. It was known that the flood control and the levees were not being properly maintained because the money was being spent on the war in Iraq. And it still took FEMA and the U.S. federal government weeks to get their act together following Katrina and the flooding. Now contrast that with 9/11, where the government was just right there almost the instant it happened. Almost like they knew it was coming. I mean, really, just stop and think about it for a minute. You know, hurricane coming, advance warning, lots of advance warning. Nothing unexpected about a hurricane and the damage it can cause, and the government can't seem to get out of its own way. 9/11, which we are told was completely unexpected, had never happened before, terrorists crashing airplanes into buildings. And the government was right there, Johnny on the spot, and by golly, by the end of the day, we just knew it was Osama bin Laden. Now, if you go to my website, you start looking at the 9/11 stories, I'm going to start posting more and more of these between now and the anniversary of that event. You probably don't know this, but there is an audio recording tape, I'm giving my age away here. There's an audio recording from a Dan Rather interview talking to one of the FEMA officials on 9/11, and the guy lets it slip that FEMA was deployed to New York the night before the attack on the World Trade Center. They were already in position, set up emergency command posts, ready to go, ostensibly for a drill. And geez, how lucky for our country and for the media that all of the assets needed to deal with a terrorist attack just happened to already be there and set up the night before. Oh, golly gee whiz. You know, the same thing happened with the 7/7 bombing in the London Tube Station. It happened in the middle of what was supposed to be a drill. And what were they drilling for? Guys putting bombs on the trains and buses. Exact same scenario. In fact, there's one theory floating around that the patsies for this thing were set up. And this next part has been confirmed. There were people going through the Muslim neighborhoods of London, hiring people to be actors to play terrorists for a drill, for an exercise. And so they come over and they say, "Hey, great, thanks for helping us out. You know, we're making the country safer. Here is your fake bomb, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, and you're going to go to this location. And after you're all done and you come back, then we'll give you your money." So the bottom line here is, if you want one very real-world indicator that things are screwed up with 9/11, look at how the government reacted to that versus Katrina, and you'll see something is wrong. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these commercials.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Don't answer it.
If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Here's Dr. John Mattson, a naturopathic doctor, and his views on Cartavite.
I would like to thank you, Don, for making my job so much easier, because your products just make it so simple, right? To fool around with a lot of exotic things that don't work, we can just put them on Cartavite and things start to work almost right away. I've had dozens of patients with heart problems who have corrected them. And what it's doing, there's so much garlic in there that has a yeast-killing effect. That yeast is a big problem in the gut, pushes the liver hard. It also has metal chelating effect. And most of the other herbs in there, I find that strengthen the arteries. They help to neutralize free radicals. Your remedy is as close to what we do in our program as you can get as far as one supplement goes. It's working on the gut. It's working on the liver. It's working on the arteries. What more can you ask for?
For more information or to order your Cartavite, call 1-877-928-8822. Cartavite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply of either capsules or tincture. Our website is heartdrop.com.
Some have maxed out all their credit cards. Some are working 2 jobs and living in cars. Minimum wage won't pay for a roof, won't pay for a drink. If you gotta have proof, distract yourself, Mr. CEO. See how far 5:15 an hour will go. Take a part-time job.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show here. And we're going to go right to the phones. We've got Lee in Georgia. Aloha, Lee. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
And you always seem to bring up the topics that I love so much about talking about.
I just guess lucky. What can I tell you?
It never ceases to amaze me how people just want to live in constant state of denial. You know, I mean, first, like you said, Katrina. You know, the problem with Katrina that I see was FEMA actually, from my understanding and my research, FEMA was actually stopped from going in there immediately. Now, I kind of have to ask, why would you stop the organization that's primarily responsible for,
I think that was FEMA trying to make up excuses for why they weren't in there in a timely manner. I mean, because when it became very obvious that the government was stumbling over its own feet, immediately they started pointing fingers. I would have done it, but this guy wouldn't let me, and that guy wouldn't let me. And so I don't really think that anybody was intentionally prevented from going in there. I think that from the Bush point of view, he viewed it just as a local problem down there, let Louisiana fix it. But the problem is that Louisiana needed their National Guard, but their National Guard was in Iraq. And it was just kind of this cascading effect. And all of the supplies and equipment that would be necessary to deal with a disaster like this had also, likewise, some of it was sent to Iraq. Some of it was just basically, no longer working because maintenance had not been kept up. and it was a classic case of, for want of a nail, the kingdom began to fall. But the point is, the reason for the delay in Katrina and New Orleans is irrelevant. The delay itself is what calls attention to itself, contrasted with the fact that FEMA and all these other federal government agencies were on the ground in New York virtually the moment the 9/11 attacks happened. And that's the point I'm trying to make.
Well, that's, as you pointed out, and also part of my research, FEMA was in New York, already had a command structure set up the night before.
That's correct.
And then Rudy Giuliani's emergency command bunker was in Building 7 along with, offices for the CIA and a whole bunch of other IRS, all these, this paperwork for these, investigations that were going on against Wall Street, and everything else was in there, all that gold.
SEC, all that other stuff.
Now,
yeah,
when
there's
you
a
talk
lot
about FEMA, you got to ask yourself a real kicker question here when you start looking at the Gulf Oil disaster. Who were one of the first ones at the Exxon Valdez disaster and all kinds of other oil spills and everything else?
Okay, you're kind of
FEMA.
Wandering off a field. You're kind of wandering off a field. You're jumping all over. I want to go back. And thank you very much for the phone call. I want to respond to what you were saying about building number 7, because a big mystery that still remains to this very day is who told Rudy Giuliani that the building was going to come down? Because as you said, Giuliani's emergency command post was in building 7. And it's on tape. He and his staff were told to leave because the building was going to collapse. And then later on, Giuliani tried to deny that anybody said it and said, well, we were just leaving to get a better view of what was going on. But the reality is, how could somebody know that Building 7 was going to come down from fires when at that point in history and to this day ever since, no steel frame building had ever collapsed just from fire? And Building 7, because it housed all those government offices, was built to far more rigid standards than normal commercial buildings in downtown Manhattan. It was built extra sturdy, extra fireproof. I mean, I remember when I was in Los Angeles, the first Interstate Bank building burned right down to the steel core without collapsing. And don't forget, we've got it on videotape where the BBC announced Building 7 had collapsed and it's still standing behind their talking head in New York. So obviously, somebody was out there saying it's going to come down. They had a button to bring it down is the bottom line. And somebody got off the time schedule. BBC jumped the gun, or the person with the button was delayed for some reason. But the bottom line is, it's very obvious Building 7 was a controlled demolition. And you know, that really is the most single damning piece of evidence there. We're going to go back to the phones. Mike in New York. Aloha, Mike. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
How you doing?
I'm doing great.
I want to ask you straight up. You're a non-religious person. You're secular, correct?
I'm a non-believer. I have no religious beliefs.
All right. And I agree with you on that point. Now, if you look at everything that's going on today, which actually goes back thousands and thousands of years ago, we're having a war of religions, correct?
I think the war of religion is a cover. All wars are ultimately economic. Religion is just the device to sell the idea of going to war to people to get them to go off and kill the other nation and bring back their wealth for the leaders without having to pay them what the job is actually worth. I mean, when you talk about like the Holy Crusades, I mean, most people think, you know, jihad and religious war is something from the Middle East. It isn't. It's an invention of the Roman Catholic Church. And they say,
I understand that. And that's why I prefaced the question to you, are you secular? And you said yes. So I'm with you on that point. But the point I'm trying to bring out right now is that, you know, this canard of the war of religions, you know, that is in ancient times is still being perpetrated today.
Yeah, it's a dirty trick. It's a trick to trick people into going off and killing other people. But the real goal is wealth and political and location power. I mean, the reason there's all, and I don't know why it persists to this day in this day of air travel and shipping, but in ancient times, the reason there was so much war over that eastern end of the Mediterranean, those were the trade routes that connected Europe with Africa and Africa with Asia. Everything went through that little strip of land along the edge of the Mediterranean, and you had, the drug trade went through there, silk trade, spices, everything went through there and had to pay a toll. And that's why it was one of the wealthiest pieces of ground in that part of the world, and that's why everybody kept fighting over it. And the issue wasn't really Islam or Christianity or Judaism. It was money, 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 money. But you don't tell that to the soldiers going out, because the soldiers will say, well, if this war is about money, I want my piece of the action. I want to share the profits. So instead you say, if you go out and kill those people, God will let you into heaven. And what a bargain that is for the rulers. Okay?
Okay.
All right. All right, thanks a lot for the phone call, and we're going to let you go. Now, speaking of money, 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 we'll get back to 9/11 and everything later in the show, but I do want to cover the economy, which I, by force of inertia and habit, I tend to do that close to the top of the show. Today was kind of interesting. When the stock market opened, the stocks fell off a cliff, went right down deep into the 9,000s, and then almost immediately bounced right back up, which was very suspicious. And remember, we've been talking a lot about market rigging, Goldman Sachs and their high-speed direct computer trading, which almost destroyed the market in the 1980s, and all of a sudden they're being allowed to do it again. And we know the small investors are pretty much gone from the market. It's just the big players in their giant open-air casino. But the stocks were going higher even as the economic news continues to be bad. The gross domestic product was revised downward to an absolutely dismal number. Bernanke came out and made a speech and said, well, things are pretty messed up, and they're still pretty messed up, and we're doing the best that we can, but who knows what's going to happen. And yet the stocks are soaring, and the official story going out is, well, the market went up because everybody is grabbing bargains, because the prices were going down because of the bad economic news, so they're going bargain hunting, and that's why the stocks are going back up. This makes absolutely no sense at all. It's not a bargain if the stock you're buying is going to perform poorly or lose money. You don't buy a big pile of dog poo just because it's on sale. And so what I think is that, again, for political reasons, the market is being rigged and kept up above 10,000, because as long as they keep it above 10,000, Barack Obama can go around and say, well, look, the economy's doing okay. And if you're losing your home and your business, it's really, you got to look at what you're doing wrong here. And don't forget to vote Democratic come November. So, and we know they've been playing games with the market going back to the Clinton administration with what they call the President's Working Group on the Markets, also known as the Plunge Protection Team. And I believe it was John Crudell who first sort of outed that this was going on, that the markets were not really a reflection of productivity and profitability in the American industrial sector. It was being manipulated for political reasons, so that the President and the incumbents would have that little banner they could wave back and forth saying, it's the economy. So I think that's what's going on, because it doesn't make sense that on a day when you've got major indicators of the economy pointing downward, that the stock market is going to jump upward. These investors who are still in the market, who have still survived to this point, they didn't survive to this point by making stupid mistakes. You don't buy into the market when the indicators are saying that the market has to go down sooner or later. There's a crash coming, period, end of discussion. And we've already documented on video, seeing how these high-frequency direct computer programming systems can rig the market. When an indicator stock starts to go down, they'll put a huge number of buy orders, and then the instant the price moves up in response to that demand, they cancel the buy orders. They don't actually go through. But the price is still going up because there's a demand there. That's how it gets done. And it's just very open and above board, and we all know how it's being done. Now, you probably heard a lot over the last couple of months about Barack Obama's home loan modification program. It's one of the things he started to prove how much the government cares about you, so that homeowners who were in trouble with their mortgages would be allowed to stay in their homes. And we have been hearing it's not really working, that people are still losing their homes. A lot of people are getting out of the program because it's endless piles of paperwork that seem to lead nowhere. And the way the system is set up, banks make much more money if they kick you out of your home than if they go through this home loan modification program and keep you in it. Now we're hearing from the Treasury Department itself that the purpose of the home loan modification program was not to help homeowners, but to allow the government to funnel more money into the big Wall Street mega banks. It's just another covert taxpayer-funded bailout wrapped in a package that makes it look like we're doing it for your benefit, but the people aren't benefiting from it. The people are still losing their homes. The banks are getting more of your tax money under the cover of this program. It's the grand looting of America. Remember, the last official act of any government is to loot the nation, kind of where we are right now. Now, a very alarming indicator that we are getting from over in Asia. This should have been blockbuster news. This should have triggered a major correction on the stock market and did not. We're hitting the music, so I'll tell you what we're going to do. I'm going to take a pause right here. When we come back, I want to talk about some things happening in China that affect our economy. We'll be right back. Join us on the air, 800-313-9443. Stay tuned.
The Grainmaker Grain Mill. Handmade goodness since 1999. Handcrafted stainless steel and high-quality alloys. There has not been a finer grain mill made right here in the great state of Montana. Hand-operated, the grain mill does it all. Wheat, corn, peanut butter, rye, rice, coffee, beans, flaxseed, all grain types. Make your own gluten-free flour. Experience the satisfaction of providing wholesome, nutritious foods for your family without additives or preservatives. Each mill is handcrafted with manufacturer's lifetime warranty. To order your grain mill, call us at 1-800-724-2719 or go to our online store, republicbroadcasting.org. Take a look at why this grain mill will be passed down through generations.
Attention all business owners. Save up to 20% free of charge on your business gas and electric energy supply bill. Call 1-800-641-5880. Due to deregulation of gas and electric utilities by the federal government, businesses in 16 states can receive up to 20% savings off their energy supply bill. This program is not for residences. It's only for businesses. Call 800-641-5880 for a list of qualifying states or visit RBN's website at www.republicbroadcasting.org. Enrollment is easy and completely free. No hidden costs, no interruption of service, and no cancellation fees. Don't delay. It takes 30 to 60 days to enroll. Call 1-800-641-5880. Thousands of businesses everywhere are saving money. Small offices and restaurants to large hotels, hospitals, municipalities, major fast food chains, and factories. This is a no-brainer. Your business is entitled to save this money free of charge. Call 1-800-641-5880. It's easy. Start saving money now. Just call 1-800-641-5880.
Heart-related health problems affect millions of people each year. Maybe you're one of the many who suffer from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeat, or clogged arteries. There is a solution that doesn't involve expensive prescription drugs that only mask the problem and leave you with horrible side effects. If you are ready to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then you're ready for Heart and Body Extract from Healthy Hearts Club. Heart and Body Extract has a 23-year proven track record of using certified organic herbs that make up an excellent formula to balance and support the heart and circulatory system. In as little as 2 weeks, you can feel amazing results when your 2-month supply of Heart and Body Extract today. Call 1-866-295-5305 or go to hbextract.com.
Welcome to What Really Happened Radio. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. And now, set your eyes on the future and let's consider what really happened.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about China. Two developments over there that should be big economic news here and are so far at least being kind of ignored or lowballed by our corporate media. In the first one, banks in Asia, or banks with branches in Asia, major banks, international banks, are now promoting the use of the renminbi to corporate customers instead of the U.S. dollar for all trade deals with China. In other words, if you're going to do business with China, they're not going to do business in dollars anymore. You will have to convert your dollars to renminbi at whatever the current exchange rate is, less conversion fees, and then you will have to go and do your business with China. It is not only a major diss on the dollar, it's a slap in the face of the United States of America. And these are not just the Asian banks. HSBC just moved their executive offices from London to Hong Kong. And Standard Chartered Bank are among the banks that are doing this. So these are European banks as well as Asian banks that are saying, dollar's no good in China anymore. You got to convert it. Now, the second news story ties right along with it. China is very slowly but steadily unloading its treasury bonds. I'm sure that it's trying to do it slowly in the hope that nobody will notice and they can get out of most of their position before there's a panic and the bottom completely falls out. But we're on that final slippery slope. I mean, word obviously, if I've got it here, word is getting out that China is getting out of the treasuries step by step. And that means other countries, other financial institutions are going to start doing the same. They're not trustworthy. They're not reliable. The treasury bonds are based solely on the word of the United States government that they can flog the American people to work hard to pay off whatever the debts are going to be. And the American people are saying no. We're discovering our freedom and our right to say no, and we are being heard around the world. So that's what's going on with that. Now, I want to get back to a subject. I started in on it yesterday, and then the phone started ringing, and we didn't have a chance to get to it. As you know, today, the new version of Avatar is in the theaters with an additional 8 minutes of never-before-seen footage. And it's a wonderful movie, and I got the Blu-ray. I'm not personally planning on going back to the theater, even with the 3D glasses, just for the sake of 8 minutes of additional footage, even though I love the movie. I'm having more and more of a problem with James Cameron, who got on his high horse about the environment and global warming, and is now starting to behave a little bit more and more each day like Al Gore. He got up there, Jim Cameron got up there and said, "I will debate those gosh darn deniers." So that's a word they like to use. If you're a critic or you're asking questions, they don't call you a critic or a researcher. They say, "You're a denier." I want to ask some questions about what happened in World War II. "You're a Holocaust denier." Okay? I want to ask why the science doesn't support Al Gore. "You're a climate denier." That's their new magic word. "You're a denier," which means nobody should even talk to you, let alone look at your facts and figures and actual scientific data. So Cameron got up there and said, "I will debate three of the deniers, and we will put this to bed once and for all." Then he backed up and said, "Well, let's just make it a roundtable discussion so that nobody's really on the spot for being right or wrong or who wins or loses." And the other people said, "Okay, we'll go along with that." And then Cameron said, "Well, there are to be no cameras." Basically, Cameron started acting like Al Gore, who always goes out and says, "I will be the only one speaking. There are no questions. Nobody's allowed to criticize or do anything about that at all." And then finally, it ends with Cameron simply canceling the event entirely, saying that he would come back to that debate, that climate debate, only with people of his stature, which is, I guess, 6'2", maybe. The bottom line is Jim Cameron is a filmmaker, and he's a brilliant filmmaker. There's no question about that. You know, I've met him twice. He's a very sharp guy. But he's a filmmaker. He doesn't come from a science background. Neither did Al Gore, for that matter. I did. Before I worked in film, which is before I worked as a political activist, I worked for NASA. I do come from a scientific background. So, Jim Cameron is out there, and I admire the support he gives his brother, Michael Cameron, for undersea research and development for those ROVs. And he's done a lot of good work. And I agree with the basic principles of environmentalism. Let's plant trees. Let's recycle. Let us be very wise and prudent in our use of resources. I'm just opposed to political opportunists and assorted snake oil salesmen coming in and saying, "The world is dying. You are to blame, and you will pay a tax to atone." I'm opposed to that. And I think most sane people are. And I think what's going on is, Jim Cameron got burned once before. He got tangled up with a guy by the name of Simka Yakubovich, otherwise known as the Naked Archaeologist. Now, Simka is not an archaeologist. He is, like Jim Cameron, a filmmaker, and he did this documentary show, The Naked Archaeologist, which anybody with a science background watching it understood immediately that Simka was not being scientific. He was being sensationalistic and more than just a little propagandistic. And watching the show, you would see the real archaeologist kind of squirming in front of the camera and saying, "Well, yeah, maybe it could have been, but we really don't know." And then Simka would go off and say, "Well, this is wonderful, and this proves that this one, the Torah, was true, and this was true," and so forth and so on. And they all got caught up in a couple of notorious artifacts, which turned out to be frauds, by a gentleman by the name of Oded Golan. When we come back from these commercials, I will continue with the story of Oded Golan, the utter fool that he made of Simka and Jim Cameron, and maybe this is the reason Jim is all of a sudden getting cold feet on human-caused global warming. We'll be right back.
Thank you. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
When all this twisted steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about Jim Cameron and Avatar and human-caused global warming and Jim Cameron's sudden decision to basically cancel out on a debate on human-caused global warming, screaming that he refuses to debate anybody not of his stature. And I think what's going on is this goes back to some earlier programs that Jim Cameron did in partnership with the naked archaeologist Simcha Yakubovich. And what is going on here is Israel tries to exploit archaeology to justify their political agenda. And because of that desire to see what they want to see, there have been some real problems with Israel's archaeology. I mean, if you go to places like ancient Egypt and Iran and Iraq, you find, I mean, you can't walk without stumbling over the ruins of their ancient history from thousands and thousands of years ago. For all that we see in Egypt, it's estimated they've only found one-third of what is there to be found. It's just amazing. Then you go to Israel, where there is absolutely no evidence of anything preceding what Herod's temple, and you begin to understand buildings that are on a scale that we are told happened during David and Solomon's time, they just don't vanish without a trace. It just does not happen. So Israel's always grabbing onto anything that they can say, this proves that we were here first, and blah, 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 which is nonsense. The Hittites were there before them. And there have been some major embarrassments. There was the temple pomegranate that was supposed to be a staff ornament for the priests of the Temple of Solomon. There was the Jehoash tablet, which supposedly documented some repair work done to the temple. Both of these were later exposed as fakes. And then there was the James ossuary, a bone box that was supposed to have been proven to be where the bones of James, the brother of Jesus, were buried. And so Jim Cameron gets together with Simca, and they do a couple of real big budget, loaded with visual effects, shows to really promote this archaeology. And then, of course, it comes out where even Israel's Department of Antiquities are saying, guys, they're not real. This guy named Oded Golan has been making these for years and selling them all over the world, and all these museums are like saying, let's put this away in a closet where nobody can see it. And I think maybe Jim Cameron is going out and doing his homework on the internet, and he's finding all of the very real, hardcore evidence that human-caused global warming is an absolute hoax. And now he realizes that he has hoisted once again with his own petard, and that his own personal credibility is now on the line if he doesn't find a gracious, or even maybe not gracious, way to get the heck out of doing this actual debate. And so this may be the lesser of two evils, and I think that's what's going on there with Jim Cameron. And he's a great filmmaker, and I love him, and I love his works. And what his wife is doing in education is wonderful. But he was wrong to get on board with Simca, and he was wrong to get on board with Al Gore. And I think he's beginning to understand that no matter how good a filmmaker you may be, you probably ought not to assume that your expertise carries into areas of science. All righty, we have got, a caller on the line, Larry in Louisiana. Aloha, Larry. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I have a question about at NASA, but have you seen the archaeology in Las Lunas, New Mexico on the rock?
I'm sorry, have I seen the archaeology on the rock in Roswell?
No, Las Lunas, New Mexico.
No, I actually haven't. If you could send me a URL, I'd love to look at it. I know that petroglyphs are all over. I mean, everybody knows about Nazca, Peru. I know there are some in California that are not as well documented.
Okay, well, there's two stones. There's the Newark Decalogue stone from Newark, Ohio, and the Las Lunas Decalogue stone inscription. And
okay.
You might look at those.
Send them along to me.
The language written on them is in Paleo Hebrew.
Wait a minute. Yes, I saw a program about this. I think it was on National Geographic, oddly enough, not too long ago. And, you know, the reality is we don't know about as much about history as is really gone out there. And we know that, you know, we sort of all grow up with this idea that Columbus was the first one to connect the old world with the new. And I think it blinds us to the fact it just isn't so. I mean, we grow up and we begin to, Leif Erikson was there first. And we know the Egyptians were in South America because the pharaohs were doing cocaine. And we certainly know that 1,000 years before Columbus sailed the Atlantic, the Polynesians were all over the Pacific. So the idea that there were other Asian Europeans in the Americas long before Columbus is not as radical an idea as it used to be. And,
yeah, right. If you'll go to Quiet Buck Native American Yawa, you'll see that the Native Americans are still singing and speaking Paleo Hebrew today. But I did see that
they might be an offshoot, and there's another group down in Ethiopia, and that's another whole situation there. But yeah, that's interesting stuff. It really is. Thank you for the call. We're going to let you go here and get back up on some other more recent events. And history is fascinating. I really do love it, and not just because I'm old enough to have seen a big chunk of it at this point. Over in Iceland, a blue whale just washed up on the beach. Now, it may not sound like earth-shaking news, but it's a very rare event. 99% of the time when a whale dies, it does so in deep water, and following a brief period of decomposition and bloating, they tend to sink. And more than a few whale skeletons have been seen by the deep diving research submersibles on the floor of the ocean being slowly devoured by opportunistic life forms. But in this case, the whale washed up on the beaches of Iceland. Now, blue whales are huge. I've actually seen one in real life during my sailing days. They're amazing animals. But the reason this is important is even the Icelandic scientists are saying this just, you know, this is rare. This is unusual. This is not the way it normally happens. If this whale was following the Gulf Stream current around the Atlantic, then we know sometime in the last few weeks it has been feeding off the Atlantic seaboard, which means in all probability it was eating krill contaminated with oil and dispersants. We know the oil and dispersants, corrects it, are in the food chain. That's already established scientifically. If it's in the krill, if the krill are basically absorbing the oil contaminants as they swim around the ocean, and then the whale eats them, we need to know one way or the other definitively. I know they took samples from the whale and they're going to have them analyzed, but this is a serious situation. This could be the first indication of larger life forms succumbing to the toxicity from the BP oil disaster here. Now, since we're talking about Europe and science and health, a couple of other stories here I want to talk about. Over in Finland, a couple of scandals. They have suspended use of the H1N1 vaccine. Remember, this is left over from last year during the other big hoax to loot us of our money, the When Pigs Fly flu. When they said, you know, oh, we're all going to die unless you go out and, you know, give us our tax money for these vaccine manufacturers and so forth and so on. We're all going to die horribly. And a lot of people didn't bother taking the vaccine. I'm one of them. And we didn't get sick and we didn't die. And the pandemic never materialized. And then later on, it came out that the World Health Organization, under pressure from the vaccine manufacturers, changed the definition of pandemic. They lowered the numbers. We didn't really have a pandemic. They simply redrew the lines and said, oh, it's a pandemic now. Everybody panic and spend money. So anyway, they've got a problem where some of the Finnish children are coming down with narcolepsy, sleeping sickness, following the vaccine. And at the same time, neurologist Markku Pertinen of the Helsinki Sleep Clinic is under investigation for neglecting to report on harmful side effects from this vaccine. And we're seeing in Europe the same thing that we're seeing here in the United States of America. You have doctors who are tied in financially with the pharmaceutical industries, and they're saying, yeah, this is great stuff. Go on, use it and sell it. Then we find out they're not actually doing it. Remember the lady who's head of the World Health World Health Organization or CDC found out she'd never gotten the vaccine herself, and she kept saying, I'll get it. Don't worry. It's safe. It's fine. I'll get it. And never did here. All righty. Now, I want to get onto a subject, and from time to time, we will get into the science and health stuff because it's really very important, and it does affect all of us. But there is a growing body of evidence that fructose, which is one of the class of sugars that are out there, is a cancer, encourager. And for a while, there was some research that suggested that high fructose corn syrup might be linked to pancreatic cancer. And what they found out is that fructose is not a cancer cause, but that it is something cancer just loves to eat, and it accelerates the rate at which cancers will grow and divide. Now, high fructose corn syrup is one of these chemicals that is in our food that is really not as good for you as you might think. Everyone's always talking about the obesity epidemic here in the United States of America. We have more obese people, and they say, well, we'll sell you an exercise machine, and we'll sell you a diet pill, and we'll sell you a video with a scantily clad young lady sweating all over the TV for an hour and a half that you can look at. But what they don't look at is the fact that we have chemicals in our food that make us gain weight. And one of these chemicals, a bad one, is called monosodium glutamate. And it is marketed commercially as a flavor enhancer. But what it actually does is it interferes with the message in the brain that says, I have had enough to eat. When researchers want to do obesity studies using rats, rats will not get overweight all on their own. They have to make them gain weight by loading their food with monosodium glutamate. Monosodium glutamate is actually prescribed to deal with cases of bulimia, where people are not eating enough, in order to interfere with the message in the brain that says, I'm not hungry anymore. And yet it's put in all kinds of food under a wide variety of names so that people who are looking for it may not know that it's there. It's called hydrolyzed blah, 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 protein. It's a very common euphemism for monosodium glutamate. The reason people look for it is it does have some negative health consequences. It is a very common migraine trigger. If you are suffering persistent migraines and you don't know what from, you might want to think about changing your diet, get rid of all monosodium glutamate and all of it in its all of its various names and permutations. But the food companies love to put it in processed food because you will eat more of it and then you'll go back to the store sooner and buy another round of the product. So it increases their productivity. In a planet with rampant famine and starvation, American food corporations put chemicals in the food to make you eat more. Sounds a little sick and twisted, but that's the way it's being done. Another one, of course, is aspartame, which is sold as a diet aid because it's a sweetener that doesn't actually produce any caloric intake in the body. The reality is that aspartame makes you crave carbohydrates. That's why when you go to the market, you will see very often these little bundled deals where there's a liter of diet soda and a couple of bags of corn chips or potato chips or something with it. Because the marketers understand you will drink the soda and then you'll just want to eat those chips up. And again, it's about getting you to buy more and spend more than you otherwise might do. Another one that is finally starting to be pulled out of the marketplace is synthetic bovine growth hormone, major health hazard. When they put hormones into the animals from which your food is made, those hormones come out through the products. They come out in the eggs. It's just like when the chickens have salmonella, the eggs will have salmonella. Hormones in the chickens come out in the meat. Anything that's not fully metabolized is in the meat that you're eating from those animals, and it will affect your chemistry the way it does the animals. Same thing with the synthetic bovine growth hormone. They're putting chemicals in the cow to make them grow bigger. And then you eat pieces of the cow and you start growing bigger. It is thought that one of the reasons we are seeing our young people sexually mature at such a much younger age than used to be the case is because of the hormone content of our food. And then we have this high fructose corn syrup. Now, it's a very popular component of food with food manufacturers because it's very sweet, it's very inexpensive, and it has a very long shelf life. It'll just sit on the shelf in the store for months on end without clumping up and becoming hard and nasty the way more conventional sugars will. It's also got some negative health effects. For people who are sensitive to it, it can trigger hypoglycemic symptoms. There are people who go to the doctor thinking they've got hypoglycemia, they're becoming diabetic, and all they are is reacting to the high fructose corn syrup. And it's everywhere. I discovered just a couple of days ago it was in the hot dog buns that I was eating. So you got to be very, very careful. And now we're finding out that fructose specifically accelerates the growth and development of cancers, won't give you cancer, but if you already have it, fructose is like, you know, handing it vitamin pills and saying, yes, go on and mutate all you want. So you got to be careful. And this represents yet another failure to take care of the American people by FDA, EPA, and the USDA. They're taking care of the corporations. They're not taking care of you. The fact that all of these chemicals with proven harmful effects are in the food you are buying from the market. Fascist nation. The government is aligned with the corporations to exploit the general population. They're not on our side. They're on the side of the big money people, and they're anything that they can get away with selling us, they're going to get away with selling us. And that's the bottom. And we're seeing it in illness rates, obesity, exploding oil wells. They're not taking care of the country. They're just taking care of the money going into their pockets here. Meanwhile, of course, we're being expected to ignore all of these terrible things going on with our government and our economy and the wars and everything because, by golly, we're going to go out there and we're going to slap those gosh darn Muslims around. And they are still on the media trying to push this whole thing that, you know, are we becoming Islamophobic? And, of course, the subtext is maybe you ought to be. We need somebody to hate. And, of course, obviously Israel wants us to hate the Muslims because they're trying to sell us more wars against Arabs for our young people to die in. And, of course, the government wants us to hate anybody but the government. And again, it's called the scapegoat mechanism. Hitler did exactly the same thing. Our government is now trying to do it. They're trying to basically sell this idea that Islamophobia is out there and the white supremacists are having a field day. But what was really interesting is in the article that illustrated some of these stories about this almost witch-burning mentality that is sweeping the country. They had a sign up there saying, you can build a mosque at ground zero when we can build a synagogue in Mecca. And the first thing that occurred to me is the arrogance of the sign holder. Because their mindset is that America is already a theological state. It's Jewish. Because we, as in we the people, aren't interested in building synagogues in Mecca. We're cool with building synagogues in the United States of America. We're cool with building churches in the United States of America. And we are cool with building mosques in the United States of America because the Constitution says all religions are equal. And so the fact that that sign was from the point of view of somebody of the Jewish faith tells you who's pushing this issue. They're trying to bring back a holy crusade. Israel wants the Christians and the Muslims to kill each other off so that the world is left to Israel. And that's what that sign really underscores. And I know I'm going to get a lot of nasty emails about this, but hey, I didn't create that sign. They're waving it around there. Their perspective is obviously not America and Islam, but Judaism and Islam, and we'll be right back.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
Are you new to freeze-dried foods? These fine, easily storable foods were first developed for the U.S. space program. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. Freeze-dried foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. Why store emergency food? Keeping food on hand for emergencies protects you the same way as does insurance on your home or car. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods in your food reserve, you can be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. In today's turbulent times of uncertainty, global crisis, world market collapse, stock market volatility, increased frequency of natural and man-made disasters, there has never been a better time to get a survival insurance policy. Take the necessary steps to protect your family in these uncertain times. Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. We pay the freight within the lower 48 states.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At hempusa.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at hempusa.org today.
You can burn up our mosques and our homes and our schools, but our spirit will never die. We will not go down in Gaza tonight.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. We're talking about this imposed Islamophobia, and I don't think the United States is Islamophobic. I think it's a very blatant attempt to transfer the anger that Americans justifiably feel towards the government onto a target group that can't fight back. And certainly the fact that Israel is always wanting to trick other people into making war on their enemies has a very, very, very long history. So there's no question about that. But a rather interesting story surfaced, and I want to preface it by going back to something I was talking about yesterday, where we have this group of people, mostly neocons, running around the country right now, screaming about how Iran is oppressing their women by making them wear, they have to cover themselves completely to be in accord with their religious beliefs. And therefore, it represents oppression. And of course, it's nonsense. If you actually look at photos coming out of Iran, some women dress like that, some don't. It's a matter of personal choice. But they're waving it at you to say, you know, we white boys, we got to go and save those poor brown girls from those mean brown male bastards that are over there oppressing them. And yet at the same time in this country, if you walk down the street of a major city, you'll see nuns walking around just as covered up because of their religious belief. And nobody's saying they're oppressed. Nobody's screaming, we got to kick down the doors of those churches, you know, and save those nuns from their oppression. I think there's people who want to kick down the doors of the churches and save the choir boys from being molested, but that's a completely different topic. But there's a lot of self-appointed moral guardians out there screaming about how bad Muslims are right now. Meanwhile, they are staying notably silent about a rather interesting story coming out of Israel. Apparently, a singer who dared to perform in front of an audience of both men and women together was subjected to lashing by a rabbinical court. We're going back to the Stone Ages here. In Israel, a musician who performed in front of an audience in which both men and women were present was sentenced to 39 lashes by a rabbinical court. Is anybody screaming about this guy being oppressed? Is anybody screaming about the audience being oppressed, saying you're not allowed to sit there with your wife or girlfriend to listen to music? No, we can't talk about them. We're too busy going over and screaming about the Ground Zero Mosque. And like I said, I think that really this is just a psych warfare operation to try and constantly remind America 9/11 was done by Arabs. Arabs. Muslims. 9/11, Muslims. 9/11, Muslims. And if you keep repeating it over and over and over again, it's going to sink in. Even though, as of the last poll I saw, about 3/4 of Americans don't believe the official story of 9/11 anymore. With good reason, I might add. And we're going to be covering that from now until the very sad anniversary of the attack on the World Trade Towers here. You know, there's a tremendous invested orthodoxy in continually trying to say, the Arabs did it. The Arabs did it. Folks, why would the Arabs do it, knowing it was going to invite a war? Who benefits from the attack on the World Trade Towers? Who had a motive to stage a terror attack in order to whip the nation into support for a war that was already being planned in May of 2001? In May and June of 2001, the U.S. government was already telling other countries around the world, we're going to invade Afghanistan in October. It was in Jane's Defense, BBC reported on it, all over the place. We didn't hear it in the United States. We were getting all Gary Condit all the time, and Chandra Levy, and that was all we were getting, just pound, 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 Gary Condit, you know, sex scandal. Pay no attention to the war plans over here. 9/11 happened exactly to fit the timetable to start the war with Afghanistan. That's it for hour number one. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back with hour two. Stay tuned and aloha.
With recent internet.